Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. And just a few announcements. As I said, make sure you got all your handouts. There's one more handout that's coming, and it just has some of the extra scriptures. You know, you guys know I always have extra scriptures that are added to the lesson. So Kit's getting us copies of that. And also, I just wanted to let you know, we just came out of the 40 days of prayer, and it was so amazing that we had those 40 days of prayer. And so what we're going to do in this prayer class, you know, we've been teaching on prayer for years. So the fourth Sunday of the month, we are going to have a prayer meeting, okay? We're just going to have that like we did the 40 days of prayer. We're going to have a prayer meeting that fourth Sunday. So be ready to just agree in prayer on the fourth Sunday of the month in the Faith Builders class. We're going to have a prayer meeting, okay? So just wanted to let you know. So that's going to be next Sunday. Next Sunday, we are going to have a good old-fashioned prayer meeting, and we're going to do that every fourth Sunday. And I just felt the Lord just impress upon me to do that. You know, we talk about prayer. It's good to talk about prayer. It's good to teach about prayer. But at some point, we got to do some prayer, okay? So that's what we're going to be doing. So let's just go into prayer before we start our lesson. Father, we just thank you for another day. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace and all your love that you have shown toward us, Lord God. And we pray right now, Holy Ghost, that you would come. That you would come and minister to us, Lord God. We don't want this just to be a class, Lord. We want this to be a time of ministry, a time where we grow. We take in your word, we digest it, and it becomes a part of who we are, Lord God. It becomes a part of how we live, Lord God. Oh, Father, God forbid that we would hear your word and not adhere and not change and not become more like it, Lord God. So that is our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Move, Holy Spirit. Move. Do your work in us. We are open. We expose ourselves to you this morning, Holy Ghost, and do your work. And we thank you. We praise you. And we're expecting it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to continue. And guys, I'm still got podcasts going up. So, you know, if you want to go to my website, faithfights.com, we still have the podcast that I'm still getting more and more put up there. If you want to go there and listen to the classes again, we have them up there. So we're going to continue in the lesson, the keys to prayer. And I was laughing because this is the third time we have tried to get through this lesson. And, you know, the pandemic hit last year. We were in this lesson. And then over the summer, we were able to do this lesson on Zoom. We did it on Zoom. And here we are again. We tried in the fall to go through this lesson. And here we are again, just finishing up the lesson, starting it all over again. But it's a good thing because as we are talking about the keys to prayer, how awesome and how wonderful is that? Can I have my copy back? Thanks. How awesome and wonderful is that we're really going on the keys of prayer. And, you know, what the enemy means for evil, God always turns it into good. So this is a good thing that we're reviewing over and over the keys of prayer and how we are to pray and how we reach heaven. So if you'll just review from last week, we talked about key one and two. First key was to pray persistently. Praying by persistently by asking and seeking and knocking. And our key scripture there was ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, it will be open. And that's from Matthew 7:7 in the Amplified, and how it breaks that down is so beautiful that we are supposed to be persistent in our asking. Number two, we talked about praying in faith. You know, you got to believe God, you know. And if you don't believe God, then you need to park right there and say, Lord, give me the faith. Give me the faith, even as a grain of mustard seed. And the Lord will show you and teach you and take you along a journey on how to believe him. It's not easy to believe, but God will help you to believe. And then we're going to start on number three today. Praying in secret, and this is one of my favorite keys to prayer, is praying in secret. And so as we get into this lesson, your lesson says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, Pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And again, that's Matthew 6:6. And so as we stop in and unpack this one, we look at the first point in our lesson says, secrets create an intimacy between its partners. You know, just right there, you know, when you have a secret with God, it creates an intimacy between you and God. When you share secrets, you can build trust with another. When you share your secrets with God, you build an intimacy with God. God will never betray your secrets. He will always work hard. He will always work toward your healing and your blessings concerning them. You know, he will never betray your secret in the way in which he'll tell your secret so that it hurts you. God will always keep your secrets. God will always work toward your secret, those things that you never told anybody. God will always work toward healing in those things, those secret hurts and those secret pains. God reads the prayers of your heart that you're afraid to speak to anyone about. Amen. We must put on many faces for each other, but the secret place, in the secret place, you can show your true face to your loving God. Isn't that wonderful? We are afraid to appear vulnerable before people because this world can be a cruel place. But before God, we can expose ourselves in safety. Do you know that? You can tell him anything. He already knows anyways. But he loves it when you tell him, when you say it in your words. He's already reading your heart. The next point in your lesson says there's a reason the word of God refers to the secret place in Psalm 91. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, or the place that I run to, and my fortress, the place of my protection, my God, in him will I trust. And that's verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 91. The secret place is a place of trust. It's a place where you learn to trust God with your life. Again, you're not born this way. You know, we're born and we live in a world where there's so many hurts and there's so many things going on. People lie to you every day. You never know what to trust. So you have to learn how to trust God. And God is willing to take you on that journey of learning to trust him. It is where you learn to lay down your human protections or your defense mechanisms, the psychologists call it, and trust in his protection. He leads you on where you should go and what you should do. Sometimes as you're learning to trust him, you must do it afraid. I love that. That was one of the best sermons I ever heard from Joyce Meyer. She did it that, who knows who's heard that sermon? Yes, do it afraid. Wasn't that was the most awesome sermon I ever heard, because sometimes your emotions are going all over the place and your emotions are just can spin you out of control. But if you do it afraid, you will find out that the Lord is faithful who promised. He is faithful who promised, says his word. But sometimes you have to put those emotions aside and do it afraid. Somebody told me that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is when you do it afraid. That's courage. So sometimes we must take courage and believe God and do it even when we're afraid. When you mess up and everyone around you is hating or hating on you or disappointed in you, you can go to the secret place. And I love that, because God will never reject you. You know, even when it was your fault. Yes, you did it. Yes, you said it. but God will never reject you. And I love that. You can go to the secret place and he'll be right there with you to meet with you. Hebrews 10 and 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Okay, I might make a promise to you and I might let you down, folks. But God, when he makes a promise to you, he will be faithful to it. The next point on your lesson says, the secret place is a place for just you and God. It's private. It's just you and him, okay? In the secret place, no words are needed. It is a communion of spirit to spirit. You know, sometimes we try. We try to say it, but sometimes there are no words, folks. Have you ever been there? There just was no words and just God. It's just you and God. This is an intimacy that you will not know anywhere else or with anyone else. That person understands the songwriter who wrote, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's one of my favorite hymns in the garden, because that's what it talks about, that intimacy with God in the garden. People who have this intimacy with God find themselves complete. God can complete you all by yourself, and that's what you want to be. You want to be complete. You know, you don't want to be a half a person, you know, and you need another person. I know people say that and it sounds very wonderful and romantic, but you want to be a complete person. And then that other person is a complete person. And boy, when you get together, boy, you're dynamic because you can do so much because you are complete in Christ. And that's the way you want to be. You don't want to be any other way but have that completeness in Christ. So as we go on, as opposed to a person that is needy, you know, and maybe you were there at one point. I think we all were at a point where we were needy at one point, but Christ grows us up. You know, a needy person is constantly looking to someone to fulfill their emotional and spiritual needs. Amen. You know, you've been around people like that. They just, you know, just come on. Can you make it? Can you make it today? Because they're just so needy and like, oh, okay, I gotta pump you up again. I gotta encourage you again, you know. I'm like, won't praise, won't nothing. Like, turn on your worship, pick up your Bible and read it. You need Jesus. I'm not the Lord and Savior, okay? And it's because they're needy. And they are looking for another human being to fulfill their emotional and spiritual needs, but they will never find it outside of Christ, okay? And that's the sad part about it, because they go from person to person to person to person trying to find something that only Christ can fulfill. They will burden their friends and their family to fulfill a longing that only Christ can do, you know? And all you can do at that point is pray and pray. I pray that you pray. CeCe Winan sings that song, I pray you pray. And I love that. Like, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to pray that you pray. You know, the person who is found complete in Christ can give to others, man. They can just give and is ready to help, is constantly on assignment for Christ. Like the apostle who said in Philippians 4:11, I think that's on your handout. Not that I speak from any personal need, for I have learned to be content and self-sufficient through Christ, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or uneasy, regardless of my circumstances. That is Philippians 4:11. And Paul was in prison when he wrote this, folks. The man was in prison encouraging the church at Philippi. Can you imagine? He's in prison and he's encouraging somebody, and this is what he has to say, that I'm content. I have found that whatever situation I am in, I am content. This is the person that has the joy of the Lord in them, and nothing's going to drag them down. Amen. Philippians 2:17 says, he said, and this is Paul again, he said, yes, and if I'm poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. I mean, can you imagine? He's saying, I'm being poured out as a drink offering for you. The people that are free, the people that are out walking around and I'm sitting in a prison, but yet I am being poured out for you. See, that's a complete person. He is so complete and so fulfilled that it doesn't matter what's going on. He is complete. Boy, I pray to attain to that. You know, we should have prayed to attain to that. Always helping, always encouraging someone to the end. And then in 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul again is writing to Timothy. Timothy's a young pastor, and he's encouraging Timothy. And Paul is at the end of his years, at the end of his days. He knows he's about to be martyred. And Paul says this, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew he was going, but even his last words, is that he wanted to be poured out as a drink offering. How did all this happen for Paul? Because Paul spent time in the secret place.
Amen.
It was just him and Jesus. And that's all he needed, was him and Jesus in the secret place. Even at his death, he was encouraging people because he had spent time in the secret place. And I've told you this story. So if some of you that have been in my class for years, if you hear the story again, just listen, okay? I'll tell you again. But when I was practicing medicine, I remember we were doing rounds, and there was this little missionary. She had got cancer, and her husband was a doctor, and they brought her back to the States. And, you know, when she was evaluated, they found that she was terminal, that she was going to die. And her son was actually in our residency group. And so we would go in, and it was kind of sad going into her room and, knowing that she was terminal. And we would go in this lady's room, and I'm telling you, she had praise and worship going. She had her Bible all open there, and we would go in, and we were like, well, how are you doing? Are you in any pain? Can we, is there anything we can do for you? And she would just be as happy. She goes, no, I am fine. And then she would encourage us. I mean, she would pour the word into us and encourage us, and we went out, ministered to, even though we came to help her. And I said to the Lord, I don't necessarily want to go this way, but Lord, when I go, I want to go with that kind of joy in me. Amen. And that kind of peace in me, and that kind of completeness in me. She was ready. And God did take that sweet lady home. And I was like, man, that was amazing. Most amazing thing I've ever seen of a believer who was really had spent time. And even in her room, her Bible was open, praise and worship. You knew that in that room, she was in the secret place.
Amen.
Spending that time with the Lord. And it made all the difference for her in her final days, that Jesus was right there with her. I believe the angels were probably surrounding her bed, just waiting for the word from the Father. Bring my daughter home. So, amen. That's the way it is in Christ. Jackie Velasquez, in your lesson, it says, a beautiful song by Jackie Velasquez suggests an intimacy and communion with God. She says, I get on my knees, and there I am before the love that changes me. You see, I don't know how, but there's power when I'm on my knees. See, something takes place in me that is the first. And God always starts with me first, okay? I could be praying about this one and that one and this one get on my nerves. And Lord, you need to deal with that one. But God always starts with me. There I am before the love that changes me, okay? Something takes place in my spirit that translates into my soul, that's manifested in my body. And that's why you do good works. You don't do good works so that, you can get points with God. It's because your relationship with God, good works come out of you.
Amen.
When you spend that time in the secret place, that just happens. So you need to begin to explore the secret place with God. Begin to pray in secret to him and watch him reward you openly. And the thing about it is that when he rewards you, you still won't tell people because they wouldn't even understand. I tell people, you don't even know how blessed I am. I'm just so blessed. If I told you how blessed I was, you'd be jealous. So I'm not even going to tell you. Because God will reward you and God will bless your life. And people will wonder, they'll watch you. And why are you so happy anyways? There's a pandemic going on, for goodness sake. Why are you smiling? And why are you encouraging people? Don't you know what's happening in the world? Oh, keep on smiling. Keep on projecting the joy of the Lord. The next point of your lesson says, praying for show is void of intimacy. Now, that's just the opposite of the secret place. Praying for show, it's void of intimacy with God. It falls flat, having no adjoining relationship with God and his humble Christ. Do you understand? We serve a humble Christ. The word says, for the one who sows to his flesh, his sinful capacities, his worldliness, his disgraceful impulses will reap from the flesh ruin and destruction, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal or abundant life. And that's Galatians 6:8. Praying in secret develops a humility, as no credit will come from people from your praying. Okay, they don't hear you pray. That's just between you and God. The reward will only come from God. That's what happens in the secret place. Nobody's hearing you. Nobody's hearing your eloquent words or your beautiful prayer. It's just you and God.
Amen.
And boy, I tell you, it's a beautiful thing, and it'll develop an abundant life in you. The next point says to pray in secret is to approach God with greater focus and humility, for he is in the secret place with us. And that's from our book, Battle Plan for Prayer. Praying in secret will develop your praying to God throughout the day to pray without ceasing. That's where you want to get to. You know, I don't know about any of you, but I always had an issue with that scripture, pray without ceasing. How are you supposed to do that? You know, you have things to do. You know, how are you supposed to pray without ceasing? But I'll tell you, when you start spending time in the secret place, I'm telling you, you're going to have a dialogue going on with God all day long about every little thing, you know. Just a dialogue. Everything that you'll find that you're bringing everything to God in prayer. Even the little things God wants to know. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to know about the little things in your life. And you'll find yourself, Lord, I'm praying without ceasing. You know, every spare moment I have, we're talking. You know, and it'll just happen. You won't even be trying to do it. You'll find that it's happening. You're thinking about him. It's, you know, you're talking about him all the time. And you're talking to him all the time. You know, and he'll prepare you for the day. And I don't want to get ahead, but he prepares you for the day when you spend time in that secret place. And there's things we're going to talk about. And for some of you, I'm trying to get my book here because I brought it this week. Virginia, you weren't here last week with your book, so I had to bring my own book, Virginia. Virginia's always our book person. But this is a book that we're in, guys, Battle Plan for Prayer. And you can get it on online at Amazon, Virginia. Virginia's our book person, so see Virginia if you want to get an order, or you can go on Amazon yourself, actually, Amazon.com, and Battle Plan for Prayer. We have been on this book for about a year, almost 2 years now. We've been on this book, Battle Plan for Prayer. So,
well, we were gone for a year.
Yeah, we were gone for a while. We were gone for about a year. But yeah, that is our book. So as we move on, the next key we want to talk about is praying according to God's will. Okay, God's will is not a mystery or something that is hard to know. Wow. Just a simple practice of daily prayer and Bible reading will reveal the will of God to you. God's will never go against his word. And I always want to put that in there, because when people can tell you all kind of stuff, God said this and God said that. Listen, God's will is never going to go against his word. So if you know his word, you'll know instantly where people are coming from. You know, I mean, the Holy Spirit will tell you a lot of things, too. But you'll know instantly if they say something against his word. This is a key piece of truth that you need to know, even when somebody is speaking a prophecy over you or something like that. Know the word of God, okay? Amen. You know, the enemy is cunning. And sometimes people are just overzealous, you know, and they may be saying things to you that, you know, that doesn't bear witness with my spirit. You know, and that's okay. You know, your loyalty is to God and God alone, okay? Amen. Always keep that in mind. So always know his word.
Amen.
The scriptures teach us, it's in your lesson, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper or standard of worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test, there you go, and approve what God's will is. This is good and pleasing and perfect will. And this is from Romans 12, 1 through 2. So God will not let you be deceived when it comes to his will, okay? I've learned that through my life. God will not let you be deceived. If you're being deceived, it's because you have closed your eyes and decided, I'm going to do it anyways. You know, and sometimes in our stubborn will and our pride, we're going to do it anyway. In our emotions, we'll do it anyway. So you want to know what is his good and what is his perfect will. If you remain in your prayer life and his word, which renews your mind, you will know what his will is. It keeps your radar on. It keeps you tuned in to the Holy Spirit when you're doing these, the word and prayer. I can't say it enough, the word and prayer. The next point in the lesson says, to worship denotes a surrender to the will and the ways of the one you worship. As you worship him with your life, you respect and submit to his will above your own. And see, that's the hard part. See, it's not a matter of, what is your will, Lord? What is your will? What is your will? No, it's like, I don't want to do it. Please change your mind. Say something different, you know. I'll tell you, folks, years can go by, decades can go by, and God is saying, now, are you ready? Are you ready to do what I told you? Trust me. Trust me. God will let you know. He will let you know what his will is. Your mind is renewed by reading and studying his word. I believe the biggest issue we have with God's will is that it often will go against our own. That's the biggest issue we have. We are learning not to live and behave in the will of our emotions and flesh. Therefore, often the will of God will confront our own will and our pride. Oh, my goodness. There's that pride issue again. Here we are again and confronted with our pride. And often our will is fueled by pride. Okay? Our will is often fueled by our pride. So praying according to the will of God requires your surrender. If you wish to see your prayers answered, you must surrender to his will and his way on answering your prayers. Tell you, John Brevere writes a wonderful book called The Bait of Satan. Some of you may have read it, but I'm telling you, it's an awesome book on dealing with offenses. When you have been offended, boy, you tell you, your pride just kind of takes the forefront, and you're not even thinking about the will of God. You're thinking about revenge. You're thinking about getting people back and all of that. But you have got to really understand what it is to surrender to the will of God. And this is so important, especially for believers. Believers, boy, I tell you, you have to realize what you did when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Okay? You have given your life, and he has taken your life. He's got a plan for your life, and he is taking you in a certain direction. And because you have given your life to him, boy, he will see to it. He will see to it. I said, it's hard to be deceived. I mean, you have to deliberately walk in the opposite direction, knowing that God said, this is the way, walk in it, you know, he says. But you have to know, and this is another story that I've told you guys, probably told you guys before, about when I was leaving Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we were leaving, and God was telling me to leave this practice I was in, and I didn't want to. Boy, I was thriving, I was doing good, man, had it going on, Virginia. Didn't want to leave, did not want to leave, so I just blew it off and didn't want to listen to God. And one night I was called to the hospital to deliver a young mother, first baby, and, you know, baby got delivered okay, and then this young mother just started bleeding, I couldn't figure out what was going on. You know, we were trying to just stabilize her and everything. We called in our backup obstetrician, because I'm thinking we're going to have to take her to surgery. And, you know, it was like I was sitting there trying to just make sure. I started praying. I said, God, please don't let this young mother die. Man, she just said, God, she just had her first baby. Lord, don't let her die. Don't let her bleed out here. And the Lord said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, if you will not do what I'm asking you to do, I cannot bless what you're doing. I never forgot those words. And I know he said that to me, and I heard him clear, and I knew what he was talking about. I told you to leave. I told you to resign from this practice, and you have not done it. And I'm telling you, I finally, I said, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it, Lord. Just please don't let her die. And I'll do it. And he just went on to say, when you are in disobedience, not only do you put yourself in jeopardy, you put others in jeopardy by doing what you're doing. Wow. By you continuing to do and staying where you're staying, you're putting everybody's life around you in jeopardy because you're out of place. Oh, it's just like a railroad track that's kind of, you know, it's out of place, and it'll send everything in the wrong direction. It can't even make the train derail because you're out of place. See, it's so important that you understand that you're obedient to the will of God. And again, folks, it's a matter of obedience. Amen. Not so much, oh, Lord, what is your will? It's obedience. And we know it. I knew it. It wasn't that I didn't know. I did. I just didn't want to obey it. And she lived, by the way, the mom, the mother, just so you'll know. So we want to really seek the will of God We are a living sacrifice. That means we lay down what we want to do what he says to do. Okay, you guys get that? Get what we're saying? So to pray according to the will of God, we must lay down our will at his feet. The scriptures record, Jesus called the crowd together with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciples, he must deny himself. This is an act of your will, folks. Set aside selfish interests. Take up his cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come, and follow me. Believing in me, conforming to my example in living and, if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me. That's Mark 8:34 in the Amplified. Oh my goodness, that says a lot. That scripture says a lot. This verse details the three components of being Christ's disciples or a student of Christ. It is amazing how easily we as followers of Jesus drop his will in a minute and do what our feelings dictate to us. We'll do it in a minute. We will jump off our assignment so quickly, easily distracted. We take revenge with our mouths and not care about the will of God. What do you do with Mark 8 when you're offended? Do you deny yourself? Number one, take up your cross. Number two, follow me. Number three, this is the level of commitment, your lesson says, and it takes to prayer. This is the level of commitment it takes to pray according to the will of God. This is the level of through life and through death, through plenty, through poverty, through good times, through hard times. Our prayer remains, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Through pandemics, amen. Thy will be done, Lord. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Hallelujah. You cannot beat Satan in your flesh, folks. You beat him in the prayer closet by remaining in the will of God. See, this is what Judas thought. Judas thought he had a better plan than Jesus Christ. So he said, let me just go and have this side meeting with the chief priests. And we can figure it out. We can have a meeting. And he didn't even know how cunning the devil had already had a plan. See, we thinking we're doing something for God, and the devil has already got a trap set for you and just waiting for you to go AWOL, to divert away from the will of God. You're only going to beat Satan in prayer. You're not going to beat him any other way, okay? Amen. This is how I fight my battles, Michael W. Smith sings. The next point says, when we genuinely desire the knowledge of his will and are committed to following it, once we know it, he will inspire us with a new level of assurance in prayer. And that's from our book. This is when you say to God, I know what I want. I know what my flesh wants, but what is your will? Note David's ranting in Psalm 139. And, you know, if you see any wicked way in me, lead me, he says. Just ranting. If you read Psalm 139, and then he says, if you see any wicked way in me, Lord, lead me in your way everlasting. This is the remarkable degree of confidence we as believers are entitled to have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will that is consistent with his plan and purpose, he hears us. And if we know for a fact, as indeed we do, that he hears us and listens to us, whatever we ask, we also know that with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted to us the request that we have asked from him. And that's 1 John 5:14. So we know the will of God because my father said, I know it's going to happen because my father said, I can pray this. This is the way I'm going to pray because my father said. Not because I want it, but because my father said. So his will include this. As we wait for his return, always pray for those who do not know Christ. Always. That's always his will. This, we know, is always the will that all lost persons come to him and be saved. The word teaches us, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's 2 Peter 3:8-9, knowing the will of God. That's so important. Saved, souls being saved. It's always about people, folks. It's always about all this stuff we see, all this stuff we have is going to be left right here. It's always about the people when it comes to the will of God. So that's what you always want to keep in the front of your mind. Lord, I know it's not about me. I want this and I want that. But Lord, what am I supposed to be doing in the room? Who am I supposed to be ministering to in the room? And I got to remind, because sometimes I can be driven. I'm just on a, I got to go. I got to get this done, all this stuff. And sometimes the Lord says, stop. All right, go back 10 steps and go talk to that one. Go minister to that one. You know, it's always about people. And that's why he waits. That's why he tarries, you know. I mean, I know some of you all are praying, my God, we're in a pandemic, Lord. Where are you? When are you going to come back and rapture us out of this? You know, that's why. Because it's not his will that any should perish, but that all. Someone told me there's a revival breaking out in California. People are getting saved and drove in California. Have you heard of that, Rose? I heard that, and I'm like, Lord, praise God. You know, through this pandemic, they're one of the top states with the number of cases, but yet, through the pandemic, they are coming to a place. People are coming to Christ. The most ornery, the most disagreeable, and the most evil person, God desires that they be saved.
Amen.
So pray for them.
Amen.
Pray for them. I know they make you mad. I know they hurt you, but I'm saying pray for them. And the real issue with this is our will.
Amen.
That's the real issue, right?
Yeah.
Let's admit it.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any comments? I wanted to show us a video, but I can't believe that hour went by so fast. Does anybody have a comment? Because I wanted to show... We're going to start the prayer course again that's on Right Now Media. We started it, and we're going to start it again. So if you guys are good, I'm going to go ahead and start the video.